if the British Empire and its Commonwealth last for 1,000 years, men will still say this was their finest hour.
We stand for Queen, Country, and Video Games. BRB UK. Worse teeth, better accents.
Hello and indeed ahoy hoy, ladies and or gentlemen, and welcome to episode 293 of BRB UK. I'm Dan, I'm your host. Hello.
Yay!
Another week, another inability of Tim to stay quiet until I introduce him.
What would the show be without that, Dan?
You know, it's not like we've done this 292 times and then some before, mate, is it? You know how this works?
It's finding new and interesting ways to interrupt you that's more of a challenge.
Shut up.
Shut up in your face.
Shut up. No, you shut up. Tim, mouth moving, still talking. Shut up. Coleman.
Hi.
You're a good boy, aren't you? You're a good boy, Coleman.
So my mum says.
Good boy, Coleman. Have
so
a biscuit,
most people
Coleman.
Mum say.
What? Sorry, I was distracted by... I was tickling your furry belly there. I got all distracted.
I do have quite a furry belly.
I have quite a furry belly as well.
That comes with age.
How are you doing? Sorry, I was sipping a coffee there.
Not bad. This is one of 4 podcasts I'll be editing this week, so let's not go mad, eh?
All right.
3-hour podcast it is, Coleman.
So basically, don't want to start swearing my head off and just making a lot of bleeps that you need.
Dan!
Wowza, 4? Why have you got 4? What, since when have we had 4 podcasts? How many is Tim on?
Well, Tim's on 2 now.
That's 2 really long podcasts then.
Don't laugh too much. You're on one of them. You're trapped in here with me.
No, and Tim, you know, socially maladjusted though you are, you ain't got nothing on Rorschach, mate.
I'm not trapped in here with you. You're trapped in here with me. It's good.
I know, right?
All good. Should we crack on then, chaps?
Yeah, I thought so.
Let's crack on. I need a moment of silence.
Oh.
Do we ring the bells?
Okay, ring the bell. Ring the warning bell.
Moment of silence, please.
Okay.
That's not sad enough.
Quite a morose bell there.
I don't know. It sounded quite happy to me still.
Yeah, no.
Oh, that's better when it's...
No, it sounded like it was smiling on the outside, but secretly dying of misery.
He's got it now, though. Got it down.
So Boss Key Productions, the latest Cliff Bleszinski joint, is no more. Cliffy B has hung up his... I don't know what he would hang up.
Keyboard?
Yeah, his keyboard, possibly. Yep. I don't know.
Unless it was wireless, might be difficult.
He might do. Yeah, then he would just need to... It would be like a token thing, really, to then hang up a random wire on the wall. It would also look strange. But anyway, Boss Key Productions, after the thoroughly underwhelming Lawbreakers, which was a nice idea, but terribly generic, and forgot that it's no longer 2004.
Well, most people seem to actually like it. There's not enough people played it.
The problem is there was like 30 people who played it, Tim.
Yeah. I think the big problem was saturated market of hero shooters plus launching on the PC and not doing at first before bringing to the console and not doing like an all-out release. Just being late out of the gate, basically.
Yeah, and there was a certain amount of hubris as well. Like, we're the guys who essentially did Unreal Tournament. We know exactly what we're doing. We're just going to wipe the floor. It's going to be like Unreal Tournament 2004 all over again. Oh, wait, what? The world has moved on?
It did look amazing, though. Do you remember the reveal trailers and stuff?
Yeah,
like, wow.
It looked great, but it had a very shiny exterior and really not much going on underneath.
I'd argue that's how Overwatch plays, to be honest.
Yeah, and that didn't seem to harm that too much.
It was a really great sounding idea, but the character balancing was way off. The map design wasn't that good from what I played of it. So, yes, and also their launch strategy was all over the place. And also Radical Heights as well, which was...
That's the Battle Royale game. Also, again, saturated market. Other leading titles in front of your own.
That was the one that looked like a slight act of desperation. Like, I don't think, you know, Lawbreakers, let's not kick them when they're down sort of thing. But, like, Lawbreakers didn't do, you know, what it needed to do to really establish itself. But then Radical Heights was the one where it looked like they were... chasing after something rather than making something and it just being slightly badly timed. This was one where they seemed to be chasing after something that was already successful.
Yeah, and I kind of, again, it was perhaps, you know, I don't mean to speak that ill of Cliffy B, but I kind of, it was starting to get a little bit like, dude, you're like really thoroughly middle-aged now. This is getting a little bit embarrassing. You know, Radical Heights was like extreme with an X, and like it was really laying it on, you know, very, very thick. And, you know, yeah, it's, you know, 100 dickheads parachute onto an island and blah, 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 fun in shoes.
100 Cliffy Bs parachute onto an island.
Holding a chainsaw.
The one who survives gets to shut down this studio.
Oh, but look, as I said, look, anyone that was affected, we obviously feel sorry for, yeah. And it sounds like there was talented people there that will most likely find jobs elsewhere generally anyway. And I don't know about you, like, I think that the games industry in general will be better off with Cliffy B in it than without it, basically, without him in it, basically. And also, I don't know if you saw, but some of the ideas of stuff that they put up, which were, you know, kind of ideas and stuff that they'd floated around and stuff, I'd much rather they had gone with some of those approaches than some of the other stuff. The two things I really saw that really clicked with me, one was a kind of a dragon riding game type stuff that looked quite cool, with like samurais
Lair.
On dragons.
And twats on dragons.
Well, hundreds of samurais on dragons parachuting onto an island. But no, and then, yeah, like the other thing that I thought was quite cool and a bit different, there was a VR version of like...
God, shut up!
What? No, but this one is an old school game that you might appreciate, of Tubin. Do you remember Tubin?
Tubin. Yeah.
I can actually see that working quite well in VR because you're sat in a stationary kind of place and they had it with like crazy animals and power-ups and stuff like that.
And there's a man approaching middle age. If you're unfortunate enough to have piles and you have one of those donut cushions, that furthers the immersion even more. Seriously, it's an amazing thing.
It was too.
Well, they did
was
talk about
Taito?
Actually having the big tubes for people to sit in at, like, you know, events and stuff like that and stuff. I just think that could have been a fun thing to actually experiment with. And both of those ideas were something I would have gravitated to much more than Radical Heights. But I actually messaged Cliffy B, and look, he's not listening out for a message from me necessarily, but like, he's someone that has always been quite nice in actually taking time to actually chat to me on Twitter before and stuff like that. I imagine he's got a lot of other people actually talking to him at the moment, but just take the time to message him saying, look, I hope you're back in the industry sooner rather than later. And it was more difficult for me to support his last couple of games because I'm more of a console gamer and they were more PC focused, or at least at first, kind of thing. I mean, so. But yeah, as I said, I wish that he comes back to the industry and comes back and maybe learns some lessons from some of the things that went wrong this time, but comes back bigger and better than previously.
Mm. Tubin was Atari, by the way.
So I've got I have a question.
Yep.
Yep.
What game developer are you going to stalk in lieu of Cliffy B, Tim?
I never really stalked him.
Sweary.
Yes.
He's found Suda, now he can go for Sweary.
Yes.
I'd love to see how strange that could get. That'd be amazing.
Well, his Good Life thing coming out soon with yeah. the old cats and everything.
Sweary follows us on Twitter.
Yes, he does. He follows Red Barrel because he knows what's up.
He knows what's up.
He knows that he can't remember who the hell he followed several years ago on Twitter. Good news though, chaps.
Good news.
Good news after bad news.
Good news after bad news. Microsoft, force of good. Who would have thunk it if you rewound back to the mid-90s? Microsoft have unveiled a truly fantastic-looking adaptive controller. Now, I know you're thinking, what do you mean, adaptive controller? Now, you've probably heard us talk about charities such as Special Effect, also Able Gamers, and also other fantastic charities like Cerebral Palsy Foundation, Craig Hospital, Warfighter Engage. Now, video games, one of the things I love about video games is it doesn't matter who you are, what your skin colour is, who you love, who you don't love, what you believe, who you believe in. None of that matters for video games.
Now, yeah, anyone can be a racist idiot online. Is that what you're going
with? No? That's where I was going, Tim, thank you. Yes, thanks, I think. But you know, one of the wonderful things about gaming is that anyone can be anyone, and that's brilliant. But anyone who's used a controller, or even more so, a mouse and a keyboard...
I've used those.
Well done, mm-hmm. Coleman.
So have I.
If you didn't have either the full complement of digits or an ability to use them to their fullest potential for whatever reason, be it injury, be it congenital diseases, be it, you know, kind of problems with your nervous systems. You know, that's a massive barrier to getting involved in games that shouldn't be there, in my opinion. And Microsoft, God bless them, have actually designed a fantastic adaptive controller that has got opinions from all of these charities. You know, it's actually gone out there and connected with the gamers who would use a product such as this. And I think it looks absolutely fantastic. Good on you, Microsoft, for leading from the front with this one.
Yeah, it looks like a well-engineered piece of kit that solves a problem. I mean, one of the things, and I think we've spoken most about special effects in the past because they're a UK-based company that we've had running before. And yeah, they do really good work.
And they're always at EGX and REST.
Yeah, yeah. And so we get to see them a lot and stuff like that. A previous friend of the show is now their community manager. Anyway, but yeah, it's something where they do really good work. But obviously, a lot of the work they do is adapting controllers so that a wider variety of people have access to playing games. And that is obviously can be quite a costly process, and that can take time to actually do, and actually something that has to be done on a per case basis almost type with a lot of different people and stuff like that. So this is something where it seems that because this is a system where anyone that hasn't seen the kind of major unit type thing is a large flat pad with two big round circles on it, a larger D-pad, and the kind of Xbox button and a few of the other buttons. But then it has a lot of other bits that can also be plugged into it.
Yeah, I mean, along the back is what, if you've seen, essentially it's a bunch of what looks like 3.5mm headphone jack. And you can connect these to any kinds of paddles or any other kind of switches or devices, and it will send a signal there and will do the action associated with where you've plugged it in. So it's completely customizable for your own needs. Which is a brilliant idea.
Yeah, and it does look like it will make the work that special effect do easier and more cost effective to do. Like, it won't necessarily take away the fact that they might have to go and sort of help customize it for different people, but it seems like it would make it much easier to make it customizable for them as well. So as I said, this is something that's definitely to be applauded, and that's why we like to shine a light on it when it comes up as well. But then also, I mean, you know, it's a good thing that Microsoft are doing. Cynically, you might say that it's just, you know, another step for them to try and curry some favor. But this is the type of thing that will curry favor with a lot of people because it's a really nice thing to do as well. So
it is essentially a big PR move. But at the same time, like the biggest thing I've really enjoyed about this news today is I have never seen so many videos of special effect being shared, because people are seeing this going, oh, what are these charities, having a look, seeing links to it from other stories about the pad. And I'm seeing it shared all over Facebook and all over Twitter. It's really raised awareness, if anything. So that's great.
Which is fantastic. And, you know, obviously in an ideal world, they'd love to send this for free, but you know, they've tried to come in as cheap as they can, from my understanding. So it's $100, which will probably work out being about 70 quid, which isn't chump change, admittedly. But it's also, I think, a not unreasonable unreasonable price. And, you know, the more I read about this, the more I think it's just awesome. So you can, for people who, say, have complete motor functionality in one hand, but not so much in the other hand, you can say, I want that half of a controller on a standard controller, and I want that half on the assistive device. So you can get the best of both worlds. What a fantastic little bit of kit this is.
And as you say, it may cost $100, £70, whatever it ends up costing over here, but that is still a much more cost-effective price than the previous methods of having to do this, I presume, basically. So, yeah, that is good.
I am tempted to grab one just to mess around with it, to be honest.
You can't have another soundboard, Coleman.
Well, no. I'd like to mess around with it and see what it's capable of, and just have a play around in general. Then, after I'm done with that, I can hand it over to someone who needs it, you know?
Yeah, but not a bad thing to support generally anyway, if it's available at a price to the public, just to support the device so that it's more cost effective overall, I would imagine. But yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing they don't talk about on the coverage that I've seen is whether or not this is something called X-input compatible, which means you can use it with PCs or anything else that accepts that standard of input. I would imagine being Microsoft, it probably does. It will probably behave as if it's an Xbox One controller as far as a PC would be concerned. And if that's the case, that's double excellent. That's brilliant because, you know, once it's released into the hands of the community, you know, I'm sure it will be all kinds of macros can be mapped to the functionality of this thing as well on a PC. And that, you know, just perhaps unlocks a whole new level of accessibility for people who have had to make do with current solutions. So good stuff, Microsoft.
Yay. Yeah.
Good stuff. I'm proud of you and everything.
Wipes a tear.
I do. Yeah.
That sounded like the sad bell again, Coleman.
That was a celebration bell.
Celebratory bell. Can I have a what the heck that actually was a story bell, please, Coleman? Excellent. Rage 2. We took the mick out of that actually being leaked by Walmart or EB Games Canada last week.
I believe at one point we did say it looks like it's probably a thing after Bethesda actually commented on Rage 2.
Yes, I think
they
commented on that time.
So it turns out genuinely is a thing.
And it does seem that it may have accelerated Bethesda's plans to actually announce that. I don't know about you guys, it didn't seem like some people do like to get out there ahead of the general kind of melee of E3 and not get lost in the kind of general announcements of everything. So they may have like actually been planning to announce this just before E3, but you would have thought there's a possibility that they could have just been announcing this at their presser at E3.
Well basically. So. I think the date it was announced was meant to be the date it was going to be announced anyway.
Right.
And much like the Fallout thing before, or Doom, they announce these things and they go to E3, like you say, and then they make that the headline thing to talk about. So they can generate excitement for what is going to be essentially their headline game at E3.
And so it pulls people into their presser as well.
But the stuff pre-announcement, that obviously was probably influenced by the whole Walmart Canada thing.
Yeah.
Like one of the funniest things I saw sent as someone who has worked in the IT industry for a very long time, they put a link up that was to a C drive to the launch trailer. And someone who has genuinely had to deal with that on a daily basis, that was hilarious.
But I mean, I think if for anything, it perhaps just kind of emboldened them to let them know there was interest for such a thing out there. And clearly, if you've watched the reveal trailer, which is very purdy, this clearly isn't just something they've gone, oh crap, people will quite like this, we better put something together, boys. They've clearly been working quite hard on it for quite some time.
Even if it was for E3, they could have possibly had a teaser trailer and a trailer ready to go anyway at this stage, no? You would have thought.
Yeah, and perhaps a bit less so than Rage 1. Rage 2 is kind of very balls out, set in an open world. It does sound like it could be compared to Borderlands a wee bit. It's set in an open world, a wasteland of varied locations and many factions vying for control of what's left of humanity.
No, but a lot of people said that, but there was nothing from that description that it was any different to the original Rage, as far as I remember it. No, the original Rage was kind of open world, post-apocalyptic setting. Like, you know what I mean?
It wasn't truly open world. I think there was large expanses of kind of fairly linear sections of map, but this is apparently more
there was basically like caves and things that you discovered, but the world was connected by like a hub that had the kind of driving and car combat kind of stuff going on in it.
But do you want to hear something truly amazing, Coleman?
Yes.
You play as the Last Ranger, and you know who the Last Ranger's name is?
Aragon?
Walker.
Walker, Texas Ranger. That's brilliant. Oh, I love that. Can we talk about like the best part about this game?
Right.
So it's not just id Software, it's Avalanche Studios.
Yes, now that is great. And particularly Avalanche Studios Sweden, I believe. But Yeah, they're the ones that were responsible for
Mad Max.
Mad Max, among other things. But
huzzah!
That is great news to me, because I think I even mentioned on the show last week when we were talking about Rage 2 that I hoped they learned some lessons from the Mad Max game, particularly in the vehicular combat section, which was excellent in that, and which was possibly the weakest point of the original Rage. And the lesson they seem to have learned is, can you guys come make this bit for us, kind of thing? Or well, we don't know which portion, you know, id Software and Avalanche Studios are involved in, but you would imagine that id Software definitely knows what they're doing when it comes to guns, and that Avalanche Studio have, you know, seemingly had bare vehicle combat, so that would be the thing that they would probably take away from that, basically. But yeah, that was great news for me. You're right there, Mr. Coleman. That was possibly the best news of the bit. What did you guys think of the trailer in general?
It was good. Not enough John Goodman.
Yeah, looks very pretty. Looks. I mean, it's a bit of a sizzle reel, to be honest. There's kind of not really much you can say otherwise than, hey, that's post-apocalyptic. Hey, that's kind of good looking. Hey, that's guns. We like guns. And also, it's got a bit of a sense of humour.
And the teaser trailer we saw the day before and had, like, there was elements that, well, I thought most of the teaser trailer seemed to be repeated in the trailer itself type thing. But then you had, it definitely showed you the kind of attitude. People were talking about the music, and maybe it's just me getting old, but there was music that I knew or recognised or know of particularly, so I can't speak to that. But people were saying, oh, that's a really good thing.
Not that Fallout, eh?
With old-timey music.
Yeah, you're used to that music, isn't
But, but the whole thing seemed quite fun. Like the kind of, they were definitely presenting it as a more colourful kind of apocalypse. You know, it's not your standard brown kind of Mad Max world type
stuff. It's brown muddy apocalypse with splashes of pink paint.
Yes, basically.
Neon paint.
It's like Splatoon meets Mad Max is how I would describe the trailer.
Sold.
Not that it has anything to do with Splatoon and game mechanics ways, but if I had to describe the look of the trailer, that's what it would be.
Wouldn't that just be Splatoon with silver paint?
Possibly.
And you've got to spray it in your mouth.
Was it Witness Me?
Whoever covers the most of their mouth and then screams Witness Me, they manage to share the glory in Valhalla.
But yeah, one of the things that I saw there's one thing that got me excited that I'd almost forgotten was an integral part of the first game, and I really liked, and I was glad to see the return of
John Goodman,
the wing stick, basically. And yeah, like that coming back, the kind of glaive type boomerang weapon type thing that you can throw at enemies. And I really enjoyed that in the first one, and that's good to see that coming back. The thing that I don't remember there being any evidence of in the first one that I think I saw in this one is there seemed to be some sort of mech thing that he was jumping in at the end or jumping on top of. And I don't know if that's something that you can get in vehicles other than cars.
Or maybe it's about the secret love between a man and a robot that society frowns upon.
Yeah, but he's definitely battling one of those as a boss type thing. Whether that's vehicles you get to control or not, I'm not sure.
I knew that make you giggle, Cole.
No, I just got the idea. I'm just trying to work out what the Chuck Tingle erotic novel is going to be about Rage 2. So being a mech and banged in the butt by a human.
Whoa! Okay.
You've seen the Chuck Tingle books. They're brilliant.
No.
It's always like banged in the butt with my own butt?
Yep.
Good.
They're nonsense. They're usually like 20 pages long sort of thing.
I think I've seen people sharing things of that on Twitter and stuff, but still.
Anyway.
Anywho.
Yeah, good.
Rage 2.
But yeah, I mean, there seemed to be like definitely two different crowds when it came to the reaction to this. Some people getting very excited and other people being very like, cynical, I don't really care. Yeah. Like, it seems that you guys were in the same camp as me, as in quite excited and quite looking forward to it.
I'm cautiously optimistic.
Yeah.
I wasn't initially that excited about Rage until kind of it being explained to me further about id Software and all this kind of stuff. And then I got into it. Then I was sick to the back teeth of it before it even came out, because it was just plastered over all the gaming sites, all the gaming, like any gaming videos I wanted to watch had an unskippable 30-second trailer. It was just driving me nuts at the time. But this one, enough time has passed where I am kind of excited about it. I'm interested about it more than excited. But also, yeah, I like the idea of the IP. I'm interested to see how it's going to go. At the same time, it's funny to see how many people on Facebook were suddenly major fans of the first game. Guarantee they bloody weren't. And I wasn't, you know. If you told me a month ago Rage 2 was coming out, I'd tell you get lost and then I'd shoot you and blame it on video games. But I'm hoping that we get a interesting sequel out of this.
Well, also, we haven't confirmed that he was definitely working on the sequel, but Tim Willits, fellow Tim, was heading up the previous game. He was a very nice guy, and yeah, we interviewed him before.
Other Tims include Tim Vine.
Yep.
And, well, yeah, but, you know.
He's my favourite Tim.
He's a good Tim.
He's a good Tim. Tim Minchin.
Oh, he's an all right Tim. He's a sometimes annoying Tim, I find.
Tim Schafer.
Yeah, a good Tim.
Timothy Dalton's not everyone's favourite Bond, but, you know.
Tim the Tall Man Taylor.
Still a Bond.
Yeah.
Yep.
Or Tim Allen, if you prefer.
Tiny Tim.
Tiny Tim, that's a good one.
Everyone's favourite tiny person.
Timmy Mallet.
Oh, tiny, yes. Tim, maybe.
He is the king of the Tims.
He is Lord of Tims.
He really isn't.
You know, he is Lord of the Tims. He was on Pointless randomly the other day when I tuned in. It's really weird seeing him try and be normal because he's utterly incapable of it. It's fantastic.
Isn't he like 500 years old now as well?
No.
No?
You're thinking of two Tim Car Moon is who you're thinking of.
That's a really bad pun.
If you're older than 20 and you still go by Timmy rather than Tim, you've got something going on.
Yeah.
So anyway, Rage 2.
Rage 2.
Rage Tim. So
Rage Tim.
That's got a release date. So it's slated for quarter 2 2019.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing they'll give us an actual release date at E3.
And I look forward to it being delayed to Q2 2020 is what I personally look forward to.
And that's going to come to PC, PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. I wonder if there'll be a Switch port down the line like they did with Wolfenstein and Doom.
Mm. Well, I'm not sure if it's using the same version of the id Tech engine, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't know that yet, do we?
Because I could see that being a challenge. I'm not saying it won't happen, but you need a lot of video memory for big open world stuff, so
I'm guessing they're quite far through the game's production when they're announcing it, because they don't usually announce
days?
Things too
who
far
knows,
out.
Who knows, Tim? But who
we'll
knows? See.
Well, Bethesda
I
like
tell you
to...
what Tim does know.
What yeah. does Tim know?
Tim Willits.
There you go.
Tim knows, probably.
But Bethesda like to announce a game and release it shortly after.
Yeah,
so
exactly. That's what I was saying. Hopefully.
So there we go. But, you know, there's a slight lull, you would think, in announcements before E3, but that's apparently not the case. Looking at this agenda right here, Coleman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So hit me with those announcements.
Hit me with your best shot.
Yeah, I'm assuming the position.
Fire away.
Slip it in, you big...
So we love Super Hot in various different versions of the game. Me
VR.
And Dan,
I love it.
Yeah, me and Dan like Super Hot. Tim likes Super Hot VR. I also like Super Hot VR.
Yet, Dan, but anyway,
I will admit that Super Hot VR is the superior version on the Vive.
Shots fired.
There's going to be a new version of Super Hot that has been announced for launch in Japan, possibly coming elsewhere later. Little is known about the game other than it's being made by a Japanese studio, being overseen by the original developers. It's got the working title of Super Hot JP, and it will feature loads of new Japanese assets, so bathhouses and karaoke bars and other sort
of... I have a question.
Yep.
Yep.
How are they going to pronounce Super Hot?
Can you go with a non-racist question, please, Dan?
I hope they just leave it as Super Hot rather than try to anglicise a Japanese word, because that's going to be very embarrassing.
But this is something where I actually hope that they bring this to other platforms, VR, please. But in general, I hope it's released outside of Japan, because just the idea of playing Super Hot on top of a bullet train sounds like something worth actually
do you know what I want?
Having some time with. Yep.
I want Super Hot on the Switch, please.
Oh, that'd be good.
Yeah.
I'd go for that.
With your Joy-Conage in control of your thingy bops.
You're thinking with... Portals.
You could sit on the train and play the train level.
I could.
Oh. Yeah.
Or sit on a plane and play the plane level.
Oh.
Yeah. Inception, Foghorn.
Also announced this week, Motorbike Racer Ride 3.
Right. What's that the sequel to?
Ride 2.
Brilliant.
Well, John, that's the sequel to?
Ride?
Ride, yes.
Yeah. Really?
Okay. Wow. You're good at this game, Dan.
My pop knowledge is amazing at the moment.
Well done. You can remember that for a pub quiz down the line.
I can, right.
That's going to release on the 8th of November for PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Stalker 2 has been revealed and is currently set to launch in 2021. Why so soon? Why so soon for a sequel, Dan?
I don't know. Is it just me, or does seeing something like set to launch in 2021? 2021 is one of those slightly arbitrary dates that always seem to appear in like kind of sci-fi focused games
in the 90s. That seems relevant for a post-apocalyptic game.
I mean, they may as well just say it's been revealed and is currently set to launch in 20XX, as far as I'm concerned.
That's the most dangerous time in human future, though, is the not-too-distant future. That's all when everything seems to go wrong, basically.
But so Stalker, by the way, came out in 2007.
Well, there you go, yeah. So it's only 14 years in between sequels. That's
Half-Life
that's
3 confirmed.
I mean, if you count the... I believe there was expansions to the first Stalker rather than a straight-up sequel. So.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
But then this is a game that I always admired from afar and never played
Pervert.
The original of. You say that every time I say it. Anyway, but I should stop using that phrase, man. But yeah, like I don't know. Like it seemed like a good game that I would like, but never played. Basically, is what I'm saying there. Hmm. And it seems like I could get behind a sequel, maybe. Any news on platforms for this yet, though? Because it was originally a PC game. I'm not even sure if it came to other platforms.
I think there were ports to 360 and PS... Well, just 360, I think, off the top of my head. But they weren't as nice as the PC version. Mm. Which, if you install today, it is a pretty sexy-looking game if you got it on high spec still.
Yeah, all I'm seeing on the Wikipedia page is a release on Windows.
Yeah, I don't remember it coming to console, because it was one of the ones I remember sort of going, oh yeah, I'd play that on console, and then I never saw it on console, so...
I'm probably mixing it up with Metro thinking about it.
Yeah, and just to give a little bit of context, so Stalker 2, the most recent announcement, is indeed pointing to 2021. However... Stalker 2 was originally announced in August 2010 and was scheduled for a release in 2012. But that got cancelled.
So they just swapped the 1 and the 2 round then, basically.
Yeah, pretty much. Exactly. Yes. Can we just Photoshop all the things we pay for? Yes, we can. Brilliant.
Anyway, Nintendo has revealed the dates for the upcoming Mario Tennis Aces tournament. Mm-hmm. Get excited.
I am really looking forward to this more than I have any right to be.
Which, by the way, this is getting used as an early access beta for the game. 1st of June from 3 o'clock in the UK till midnight on the 4th of June.
Yeah.
We're going to have a big old tennis tournament, and I've got dibs on Wario.
Okay, that's fine.
Or Waluigi. I think I'm more of a Waluigi.
I want to play Mario without a mustache because that'll freak everyone else out.
Oh, have you seen that? Someone photoshopped that on Reddit.
I know, that's what I was referencing.
It was terrifying.
Mario.
Like, literally out of your nightmares. It won't work well in an audio podcast, but anyone, just Google Mario without mustache and prepare to be...
Yeah, shaved Mario might come up with slightly unpleasant things.
Yeah, don't go that way.
Don't do that.
Looks like Elmer Fudd.
I think he looked about 7 years old, basically.
Ah.
Oh, I thought he looked like the Pillsbury Doughboy.
Hmm. Huh? Yeah, I can see that.
Good shout. I have a question, Mr. Coleman.
Yep.
Why is the most exciting announcement of a new game... possibly not on this list?
What is the most exciting announcement of a new game?
One that got announced today, Mr. Coleman.
What was the game that got announced
on
today?
On vacation. While I have issues with the word vacation.
I forgot.
Oh, okay. Well, basically, yeah, it's for the Switch, it's like 50 different mini games that are competitive or cooperative. The odd thing there, and why I'm mentioning it in the tennis thing, is they do have a tennis game in there as one of the things, by the looks of things. But a load of other stuff, there's like jet skis for your wave race fans, and there's like parachuting and loads of other stuff they're showing. And that looked really cool, and that's out really soon as well. I think it's out end of July?
27th of July is when it's coming.
27th of July, yes.
That looks like a mix of Wii Sports and Wii Sports Resort.
Yeah,
it kind of looks like a mix of those two things, but it's not Nintendo, it's Namco.
Namco.
Yeah, yeah, but it looks like a continuation of that sort of idea, and yeah, that looked quite interesting, I think.
Okay.
Also has polar bears.
Yes.
And penguins and foxes and all sorts.
Yeah.
And elephants. I saw an elephant in there.
I saw an elephant.
Yeah.
And you go sledding with little husky puppies. It's going to be amazing.
But anyway, the Crew 2, that is getting itself one of them their closed betas. That is going to run from the 31st of May till the 4th of June across PS4, Xbox One, and PC.
I am already in said beta.
Dan is in already in the said beta. Oh.
And I was in a thing before that I can't talk about.
He was in a thing before he can't talk about, and he secretly told me that the Crew 2 is the best game ever.
Did I?
Good.
Or did he tell me it was the worst game ever? Who knows? You can't tell.
You can take a guess, ladies and gentlemen.
But if you go to thecrewgame.com/beta, you can sign up yourself. I think I signed up for that when they announced it at E3 last year, and I didn't hear anything back.
Yeah, I mean, you will need almost certainly a Ubisoft account, so make sure you got one of them.
I have one of those.
I have one of those.
I think I have two of those.
Yeah, I might have two as well.
You're halfway there, living on a prayer, Coleman.
Yeah.
Yeah, you are.
Release dates. Got a couple of them.
Good.
They're both things that are technically out already, but they're coming to other things. So the PS Vita port of Stardew Valley is coming out on the 22nd of May.
Okay. Oh, whoa. I have a question.
Okay.
A new game, a new release, rather, for the Vita.
Yeah, that's still happening.
Did someone not get the memo or something?
No, they're still happening. They still release on there. Yep.
Yeah.
Just because you've got a Switch, it doesn't mean that all the other Vita owners have got a Switch.
Yeah, there's still Vita games, just not on cartridges.
Hey,
anymore.
Now come on, don't get me wrong. Now I think the Vita was a fantastic gaming platform. It's just criminal how undersupported it was by Sony. That's all I have to say on the matter. That's all I have to say.
Well done. Capcom are going to launch Okami HD for the Nintendo Switch on the 9th of August.
Standard.
There you go. That she releases. And
yeah,
I had to.
It looks like it could be a really good fit for the Switch, though, with all the physical, like, touchscreen controls and stuff, no?
Yeah. No, I think that'd be great.
I don't know why I added physical to touchscreen controls, but you get the idea.
Okay.
Physical.
And this week I had to add in delays its own section because there's so many of the blooming things potentially. So Shenmue 3.
Shenmue?
That's not going to release this year as originally planned.
Surprise! Surprise!
Oh my god, I am so surprised, Coleman. How did this possibly happen and sneak up on us?
Surprise! Because
I think
we
all predicted this was going to happen when they did the Kickstarter. No?
Because it's a Kickstarter game, and Kickstarter games typically don't come out on the correct dates anyway. That is going to come out in 2019 now instead of 2018, but you still get that HD remake of what? Well,
1 and 2.
HD port of 1 and 2. So there you go.
And then go, why the heck did I back version 3? Because this hasn't aged well at all.
I didn't back it, so yeah.
Nope, neither did I.
Take 2 Interactive Software, they had their earnings report recently, and they've announced that a game that was set to be released this fiscal year has been pushed back, and they...
Year?
They refer to... Fiscal.
Okay, you did say fiscal.
Oh, sorry.
Okay.
No, why? You are just obsessed with the word physical. You are. You have you taken a fresh dose of your pervert pills today or something?
Possibly.
Jim? Nice. Ah, physical. I like to watch it from afar and get all physical with myself.
They alluded to that this is going to be a game in a long-running series, and it was going to be a headline game, but they wouldn't announce what it was. We highly suspect it's Borderlands 3.
I'd imagine it is, but if they need some time to make sure there's extra good secret sauce in that, I don't think that's a problem.
And Take-Two probably aren't going to suffer too much for income this year with, what's her name, out later in the year, Red Dead Redemption 2, eh?
Yeah. Metro Exodus has been pushed back from its 2018 release to quarter one 2019. That makes sense. And also from THQ Nordic as well... there's Darksiders 3 and Biomutant that were slated for the release this year. They're apparently being reviewed and are expected to get pushed back to next year as well.
I mean, I don't think that's too huge a surprise since those are all IPs which have changed hands and then changed hands again in an none too distant past. So, you know, I'm not really that surprised.
Well, Biomutant's a new IP, no?
Yeah, Biomutant's a new IP. Darksiders 3 and Metro Exodus, like, even though the licenses have changed hands, those are games that have been made at THQ Nordic, not somewhere else, and then come to them.
It's bad news, though. I was looking forward to seeing how Darksiders 3 worked out, and Biomune looks really interesting. So
Darksiders 3, guarantee it's going to be a bit like Darksiders 2.
But with Fury instead of Death or
It's always a new protagonist, so it'll be interesting. So,
Have you seen on the PlayStation Store, they've got a Darksiders Fury Edition, I think it's called, or something along that effect, and it's got a thumbnail that shows the new character for Darksiders 3 on it. But it's basically a big bundle of Darksiders 1 and 2. And I think that is the cheapest BS move they could pull to trick people into going, oh, that must have something to do with Darksiders 3. I'll buy me that. No, it's just 1 and 2 again.
Oh.
Yeah, that is a little... And the cover art for it, where you've got Fury front and centre, and then just a little corner of Darksiders 1. And a little corner of Darksiders 2. It's a bit like, it's your... Yeah, that is a bit cheeky. I'm a little disappointed in you there, THQ
Nordic.
Yeah, THQ Nordic to full name the crap out of them.
And lastly, Kotaku have reported that Sony's American and European branches plan to end cart production for the PS Vita by the close of the fiscal year 2018. Although digital distribution of games will continue, Sony 2018's fiscal year ends March 31st. 2019, by the way. Yeah, there's no more carts. They did this with the UMDs in the PSP and then remodeled the PSP to make the PSP Go, which didn't take UMDs at all.
I don't think they've got any appetite for doing a new hardware revision of the Vita, though.
What are you talking about? I want the slidey Vita. I want the slidey Vita, Dan.
Really?
Maybe if they could take the, rather than sliding it out like a clamshell or like a phone flip design type thing, maybe if they instead like
banana phone
no right,
hit a button,
image this, you get the Vita screen
right
and then detachable controllers from each side.
Let me stop you there. Now just think, a couple of months ago you went to a shop and you bought a new console. All right, just think back. I think what you're describing is something you've already got.
Vita 2.
Yeah, that's
Vita
exactly.
Go.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Vita gone.
It's the Sony toggle, which is nothing like the Nintendo Switch at all.
Anyway, that's all the news this week.
Yep,
that's a lot of news.
That is
a lot of news. So we better talk about what we've done, played, and done stuff.
Cool.
Right, do you want me to go?
Let's do it.
Okay,
go.
You go.
Immortal Redneck is a game about an undead redneck. You've probably guessed that from the title. But this undead redneck has found himself somewhat stuck in the pyramids of Egypt.
Egypt,
yes. So you play the titular redneck, and much like many other things in this day and age, you are thrust into a roguelike type environment with 3D shootiness. Now...
thrust.
So far, you're probably going, so far, so quite generic. So, Immortal Redneck has been out on the PC, PS4, not sure if it's out on Xbox, but it's recently had a release on the Switch, which is a great platform for kind of pick up as you go, roguey type things. There's lots of, to be fair, there's a lot of other roguelikes on the Switch at the moment, some of which are excellent, and well worth checking out. And I think Immortal Redneck kind of is one of the better ones out there.
Yeah, I heard it's quite funny.
It is quite funny. I mean, the vibe I got off it was I felt like I was playing it's got that kind of Duke Nukem 3D and Serious Sam vibe to it.
Okay.
I mean, the intro sequence is dropping F-bombs left, right, and center, and that just confuses me, hearing that come out of a Nintendo console.
It seems wrong, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's a bit like if you hear your grandma swear, you're like, what? Whoa, you don't know those words,
mate. You want to stay the hell away from Wolfenstein 2.
Yeah, I know, right? I'm a sensitive chap. So the setup is, You're an undead redneck. You're off-roading in the Egyptian desert. You died. Now you've got to kind of fight your way through kind of levels of pyramids to please the gods and kind of let you quietly shuffle your mortal coil onto whatever ascendant plane you would like. And it's a bit like kind of essentially a challenge tower. So, each run, you go in the ground floor of the pyramid, work your way up, kind of procedurally generated stages, and eventually get to a boss of that pyramid who you try and dispatch. more often than not, if you're like me, you don't succeed. and, I mean, although it is kind of a roguelike game, you do have some kind of persistent progression. So whenever you do a run, you get gold, you spend this gold to permanently upgrade your stats. So you kind of, initially you're really just hitting that brick wall, but as you upgrade your character, nicer times are had.
I prefer it when a roguelike is structured that way, like rather than just relying on you getting better at the game as well, basically.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's one of the things where, you know, I think the idea behind this is really good, and it's quite interesting having kind of randomly generated levels in a 3D shooter.
Oh, are they completely randomly generated?
I think there's certain kind of building blocks to them. But with that does come the risk that, you know, it can, you know, runs can be very uneven in difficulty. And sometimes the runs can be really, really, really long. And sometimes you can get completely lost because the door's been spawned in a very random place that you need to. So basically it is you enter a room, enemies, kill all the mans, door opens, happy times. Eventually you go up some stairs and get a bit closer to the boss. But sometimes the layouts can be just like god awful. can get a bit frustrating. But you know, I think that's kind of comes with the territory. I think if you know you're getting into a game like this, you should kind of expect that to some degree.
It's the trade-off for not having something just be blandly repetitive every time you go through it, kind of thing. I mean, like,
yeah, exactly. And as you level up, brand new characters with brand new abilities unlock as well, so there's quite a nice lot of variety from how you can approach the game. And the gunplay actually feels really good fun.
Okay, that's good.
And it is quite satisfying. Initially, when I first heard it, going, oh god, this is trying really hard. It's trying kind of too hard to be Duke Nukem 3D or something like that. But actually, it's kind of got a certain endearing charm to it. Which is good. Being on the Switch, obviously it's not going to look like, you know, it's running on a top-end PC on ultra settings, but, you know, it's...
Say it ain't so.
Yeah, I know, right? But in docked mode, it's, you know, very, very crisp, very pretty, good frame rate. In the handheld mode, it does suffer quite a bit, though, I would say. It artificially drops the resolution. I actually thought I'd forgot to put my glasses on, put it that way. I was like, wow, that's really blurry. Do I need to go to the bloody optician? Oh, no. It's actually just really... I think it's running at, like, half res, and then they've kind of blurred the image and through upscaling, and it's not a great look, I'm not going to lie.
That's why you'll never need a 4K TV, Dan, because you just got to take your glasses off and it'll all look the same.
Hey, you know, I'm a cheap date, Coleman. It's fine. So, yeah, but, you know, all in all, I think it's well worth checking out.
And I think at the price point, I think it's about £18, if I remember correctly, and that seems like, in comparison to the other kind of first-person shooter experiences that are on that are possibly a bit more polished, but are three times the price kind of thing. So that seems like a good fit, especially if it's got that roguelike element that does give it some replay value as well.
Yeah, exactly. And it's, you know, just as long as you don't take it too seriously and take it for what it is, you can have a really good laugh at this game. And the kind of fact, it's like kind of a... In the same way that Spelunky was kind of this really kind of run-based gameplay where it's kind of a completely different challenge every time, see how far you can get. That is quite fun. I mean, sometimes, you know, the flip side of that is sometimes it can be really frustrating that it has really uneven difficulty spikes.
I have a question.
Yes.
I assume it's just single player as well.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, cool. Yeah. But anyway, yeah, one I might check out myself.
All in all, super good fun, really nice kind of 90s retro vibe to it. And yeah, if you like your shmups and or FPSs rather, and you've got a Switch and you've got £18 loitering in your wallet, then you could do a lot worse, I think.
Cool. Ooh. Cool.
What worse could I do for £18?
You could roll £15 up, shove it up your butt, and then Ooh. Swallow the £3 and change you've got.
I mean, sounds like a pretty interesting night, Dan. Do you want to join me with Tim's piggy bank?
Will he be watching from afar?
Yes. That's how I like to roll, Dan.
Unless he decides to get physical.
Oh, yeah. would as well. The dirty man. Dirty old man. Anyway, that's all I've done played this week, apart from more Destiny. You don't want to hear me talk about that.
Not this
well,
week.
Well, just in a few words, though, are you continuing to have a similar opinion as you did previously, or has your opinion greatly changed?
Yeah,
sounds much the same then.
Yeah, these are all interesting noises, Dan.
Yeah, lots of interesting noises
to be made. It's a great selection of noises.
And in conclusion... right, okay.
Good.
That cleared up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, good. Marvellous. Carry on.
Can I do one?
You do one.
Flip, yes. So, the latest release from Rising Star Games, and I tell you, I've got a lot of time for Rising Star Games. Mm. They don't always get the right game, but when they've always bring out something interesting.
Right.
Yes. So, they have published a new game from Super Gonk Studios. They are a new studio formed from guys from Codemasters, Bizarre Creations, and Lionhead.
Ooh.
And they've released a racer called Trailblazers.
So presumably a British studio then.
It is a British studio. Yep. I think, I can check actually, they are based in Guildford.
Guildford, I would guess.
There you go. Yep. They're based in Guildford and they've released a game called Trailblazers, which is a 3v3 racing game that has elements of Splatoon in it.
Yeah.
And it is super interesting. You can get it on PS4, Xbox One, Windows, Mac, Linux, and Nintendo Switch soon. But it's out on everything but Switch later. And so this is a very colourful, very vibrant, nice, awesome soundtrack to it. Really, really kind of in-your-face game. And the whole idea is you're driving around in a very kind of Wipeout style hover vehicles. And you also have the ability to paint the track that you're racing on. It's like an electronic track and you can activate something that makes it change to your team's colour, usually orange or blue. As you race along, the pattern that you've left on the floor, that then becomes like a boost pad for people on your team or yourself as well. And there's two ways of doing that. You can hold down X and it will paint the floor below you, which will give you a little bit of a speed boost and also allow you to have a better handling on your ship as well. But then there's also an attack, which you fire like a big splatter paint, a trail of paint in front of you, and you can use that as a boost as well as attack other people with. Mm. It is... super fun. Although it has a single player mode that's a little bit lacking. It's got a story that's all similish type gibberish voices coming from the characters with writing, written storyboards type thing. The multiplayer is where you can have the most fun. There are two versions. You've got the online and you've got the split screen. Mm. We've not tried the split screen because me and Tim thought we'd go with the online, seeing as it was available to us. And this is one of the first games to utilize the special online hookup that comes from the PS4 party mode. So you just set up a party and you go, all people in the party, play this game in a new game. Bosh, done. Mm-hmm. And that's really cool. Although the lobby takes a little while to load.
Yeah. It's fine, but I wish you could just go, right, everyone's ready, let's start now, because otherwise you've got to wait 60 seconds between each round, which gets a bit much.
Which in retrospect isn't a long time, but if everyone's ready within 10 seconds, then it gets a bit boring.
But that's the thing, it's not the longest time and doesn't actually give you time to like pick through all the different vehicles and the different options that are available to you. At the same time, it does feel like a long time if you already know what vehicle you're getting and you want to get straight into it kind of thing. Mm. So... Yeah,
I'm playing this on the PS4 Pro. I'm really enjoying it. I played a lot of this last week and then went back to play this week after I finished work, and I was so tired that I was just crashing into all the walls. It was like I suddenly forgot how to play video games. So you've got to have your wits about you when you're playing this one.
Well, yeah, you'd also played a little bit more of it than I had when we were playing multiplayer, and I do think it's one where you need to kind of get into the groove of it, because it is a little bit like rubbing your head and patting your stomach at the same time type thing in terms of...
Sounds like what you do when you watch from afar, Tim.
But it sounds like it's kind of you are driving and then having to do something else that you're not used to doing while driving type of thing. Mm. And it gives you an extra thing to think about. And in just for instance, in a racing game, normally you find the fastest route that you want to go around the track in, and you go around that route and stick to that route throughout each level. Whereas in this, you're kind of thinking, well, do I want to follow this route that I put down and I know I've painted a good section of so I can use that boost to carry on going through? Or do I actually want to go a different route so that I can cover more of the opponent's track and make it more difficult for them to race? Mm. And it's a kind of, you're constantly trying to juggle those decisions while also trying to race around a track as well. So,
do you know what they should have called this game?
Trailblazers, because that's quite a good name for it.
Splatoon.
That might have got them
sued.
As in hooning.
Yeah,
but that would have been an amazing... That would have been... Come on, that would have been a great name for this game.
Trailblazers is okay.
All right. I'll go back in my corner then. Fine.
This seems to be following a trend of a lot of indie racing games that I've seen lately, especially at like Rest, where it's the object isn't necessarily to drive ahead and then hit the finish line before everyone else. It's a lot of the time it's down to point scoring as well, like how many attacks you hit. When you're racing on and painting the line or following a line to keep yourself boosted, and then you've got to then try not crash into a side of a wall or a barrier or just tap something, because you'll then lose your score multiplier and you want to keep that going. So a lot of it's down to precision as well, and messing around with paint and attacking people. It is very interesting, and it's one I want to play with more people as well, but it doesn't, you know, as the state of it is, I don't think many people are picking this up in my circle of friends, so...
It'd be good if the three of us played together. If you wanted to pick it up, Dan, if you're interested, then it'd be good to have, three of us play as a team and go with, a consistent thing, because also the other difficulty was me and Coleman were trying to play with one other random other person that we weren't speaking to, and that did make, trying to have the team tactic a bit more difficult. Basically.
He was pretty good, though.
Yeah, he was good.
That's Trailblazers. I recommend it, especially if you've got friends that can jump in the game with you. It's super cheap as well.
Splatoon!
I think it's $14.99. There was a PS Plus discount that brought it down to like £14 something. That may have expired by this point. I'm not sure, but yeah, it's worth the price.
Splendid.
Cool. Right, now, you've left me with three things to talk about and not much time to talk about them.
But yes,
two
that's
of them
by
I can
design.
Rattle through fairly quickly. And one of the things we've been keeping under our hat, because we weren't entirely sure when it would hit, but in case anyone hasn't seen yet, we have launched a BRB VR podcast. So all my VR thoughts will generally be contained there, unless there's anything I think is particularly noteworthy going on. So Dan and Coleman are happy. I've been sectioned off to another podcast to talk about VR in the future as well.
I have a question.
Yes?
Is this called VRB?
No, it's called...
That is a good name.
Peripheral Vision. Peripheral Vision. I can't pronounce it, but I did come up with the name... I knew that would be difficult.
VRB, mate. Seriously.
I like VRB.
That's not bad.
Technically, though, we've not launched a new podcast. There is a pilot for this podcast on the Big Red Barrelcast feed, because Kev is headlining on that one.
Yep.
Along with Tim and Diomed. Mm-hmm. We are going to launch a new podcast in the near future. But if you want a taste of that, you can go listen to Big Red Barrelcast feed and hear the latest episode.
Yeah, and also part of the reason behind that is just so that we can get some feedback and get your guys' thoughts on... Like, we do have some ideas of how we're going to structure the show. We've got quite a fun idea of that, and we give you a taste of that in the show. But come along, listen to that.
If
you've got any interest in VR... Go and listen to that, download the show, and give us some feedback and see what you think, because we'll be interested in what you
think. And tell them that
their
podcast should clearly be called VRB, I think.
Yeah.
That's not bad, Dan. Where were you when we were coming up with names that I could actually pronounce?
I don't know. If you were talking about VR, I was probably in a coma.
I had a good idea for a name, but I don't want to share it now that it's not the name, because it might be a t-shirt idea down the road.
Cool. Fair enough. Nice. But yeah, I did want to mention two things very quickly. I mentioned on the show ages ago that I bought a game called I Expect You to Die, and I kept on forgetting the actual name of it. I got to play through the whole thing recently. I played a load of VR stuff, and I'm not going to go through everything, but I just wanted to mention that because that was particularly brilliant. I really enjoyed that game. It's basically a James Bond-esque escape the room type thing. Dan, I think you'd really like the humor in that game particularly as well. It got slightly criticized at launch for not quite being long enough and not having enough content, so they added a new level to it. So it's something where if you avoided it because of the initial impressions that it was a bit short, that's something that you can probably ignore and probably go and pick it up. So if you're interested in PSVR, I will be talking about that at greater length on the show. Also, just very quickly, I got to go hands-on with an Oculus Go. Someone brought along one to Tabletop Tuesday. And I have to say, that solves a lot of the problems that I've had with the kind of Samsung Gear VR and all that type of stuff. Anything that bases putting your phone and strapping it to your face, I've always said, is a fundamentally bad idea. And for anyone that doesn't know, the Oculus Go is an all-in-one unit that kind of has its own dedicated screen. I was very pleasantly surprised with how good this was. Like, as in, I've gone and had and hovered over the button in the store of, I kind of want one of these, but can't really afford it at the moment, type of thing. But I got to have a quick go on the Star Wars droid repair, which was quite fun. You're just kind of repairing BB-8 and a few other robots that come in. That was a free game that comes with the system as well. But as I said, I was really impressed with the actual headset. Again, I will talk about that a bit more on our next recording of Peripheral Vision.
I think I had like a window game that was a...
On what? On what podcast was that?
Peripheral Vision.
No. VRB, mate.
VRB. Well,
come vote, tell us which name you prefer, basically.
Virtual Reality Barrel.
Virtual Reality Barrel. which I think adequately sums up the situation as well.
Possibly so. But the one I wanted to just talk about a little bit is another one that Coleman and I got to play in co-op, and I've been playing a lot more in single player as well, is a game called Raging Justice. Now, again, we will skirt over this a little bit just because I have got a full interview with the developer coming up that should be out later this week. So if you want some more details on that, we kind of drill into kind of all his influences for the game and kind of, just how the game was made and a few other bits and bobs like that. And it's a full, like, sort of half hour interview. So we will dive into that. But just talking about it slightly separately and kind of getting Coleman's opinions in on it as well. Raging Justice is a...
Justice!
Are you going to do that every time I say Raging Justice?
Maybe. I have a question.
I just said Raging Justice.
Is it Rage Injustice or is it Raging Justice?
It is Raging Justice!
I just wanted to make Colm say that again, to be honest with you.
But yeah, it's a side-scrolling beat-em-up very much in the kind of Final Fight and Streets of Rage kind of mold. It's got its own graphical style, which I've seen a few detractors from, but I really quite like. I think it's really quite interesting and really heavily reminds me of a kind of almost claymation type take on the Final Fight kind of graphic.
Well, I was actually getting almost like a Killer Instinct vibe from it, where you can say pre-rendered sprites if you want.
Kind of reminds me of that old kind of rotoscope stuff, if that's the right term. I'm not sure that it is, but anyway, as I said, we dive a bit more into the kind of graphical style and the influences for that and stuff like that. But just kind of getting into it, it's either a single player or co-op side-scrolling beat-em-up. And Coleman and I got to play a bit on the PS4, and I liked the game enough that I ended up picking it up on the Switch because I think it's quite a good fit for that as well, basically. Coleman, what did you think? Because I'm pleased that I stuck with this game a bit longer than me playing it just with you. And that's not to be too disparaging about, you know, your co-op abilities or anything.
Hey, you were letting our team down.
I know. Well, we discovered after we'd played for a bit and got slightly annoyed with killing each other that you can actually turn the friendly fire option off in the menu. But it's on as a default, basically. I think we may have got on with that slightly better had we turned that off.
Yeah, I've got the... I mean, you know, I used to play these games with my little brother, so if he hit me, then I would turn around and hit him back. That's kind of what we did, so that was interesting. I've spoken about Raging Justice before, where we've been at Resident EGX and had a look at it, and just on first impressions, I've gone, I don't really like it. It was in a time where we're oversaturated with all these retro-style games, indie games, but... It's kind of like a fantasized look at the graphics of indie games, but not with any kind of innovation in the gameplay. And I got that impression from this. And now the game's come out, I really, really like it. It's,
I'm glad you said that.
It just, everything flooded back to me the days of playing Final Fight. And I'm really enjoying it. I love the look of it. I like the way we can do the combos and it's got this whole good cop mechanic where if you wear down an enemy, instead of delivering a final blow, you can arrest them instead and gain health packs for doing so. And trying to balance that kind of thing, it provides this really good challenge and a twist on the traditional beat 'em up side scrolling genre. So yeah, I'm really enjoying it. And I'm looking forward to playing more.
How balanced is it in single player though? Because is it just designed to be a co-op kind of beat 'em up?
No, and I've now played more of it in single player than we played in multiplayer. I'd be interested to go back and play a bit more of the multiplayer because I actually think like I've got used to how well it is balanced in single player, and it plays through fine. The one thing is, and the one thing that the developer did talk about, is the fact that it is on the hard end of the scale in terms of like, it's a bit old school and it's like almost coin op approach to like bosses being a bit cheap, and a few attacks being almost unavoidable if you don't know they're coming beforehand type of thing. But it's one of the things where the developer has talked about, and like it seemed to get a early bit of criticism for being on the hard side of things. And I think he is looking at ways and means. And it's actually something I discussed with him on Twitter and suggested a couple of ideas of it might be nice if you could use your special, which normally in the kind of, I think in the Final Fight, or no, actually
Streets of Rage
where it actually, it costs you a bit of your own energy to use the special. But it's often like it becomes quite tactical because if you're about to get surrounded by people on either side, your special move will hit people all around you. And it's better to use that at the right time and suffer the consequences of losing a bit of your energy than it is to get caught in like a combo of different enemies hitting you type of stuff.
Also, when you're trying to use the when you're trying to work out what moves do what, if there could be a button where you tap it and then it suddenly spins off to the left side of the screen and then someone in a cop car drives up and fires a rocket and then you're like, well, that was a really powerful move I just wasted by accident. One of those per level, that would be great.
But he is thinking of doing a mode. I think the idea that's winning at the moment is the idea of having a kind of endless run mode where you don't actually run out of credits. Because at the moment, the system he's got, I actually quite like. And as I said, I'm glad I stuck with the game a little bit more than the initial bit we played, because that gave me a deeper appreciation for the fighting system and actually using the one thing it's added that it didn't have in those previous sorts of games is a kind of a dodge mechanic. But the dodge also, like, it allows you to dodge out the way of things, but it's an offensive move that you can use to clear a bit of space as well. And it's effective use of that, and also like good use of the throws. And the throws are very much in keeping with the old Final Fight type games where you can like throw one enemy into another. It's quite a slow move because they've got to then get up off the ground. But if you're using it to your advantage to throw one enemy to another or throw one enemy into multiple enemies and then punch all of those enemies when they're on the ground and stuff like that, then it becomes like really quite useful, especially. And the combination of those two moves are really good for keeping your combos going and stuff like that as well. So I've been actually having a bit of fun, like not even playing through the main game, but just playing. They also added a kind of survival brawl mode, as they call it, where it's literally just like a score attack type stuff. It allows you to play like the highest level you've got to and replay at the best kind of approach that you've got to that. So you've got to that with like three lives and you know and a couple of continues, you can try again at that point and try get to the end of that level again. So you're not having to always go back to the beginning of the game every time. But yeah, anyway, look, as I said, I've been really enjoying it and it's really good fun. And it's, I think it's just come off sale, but it's only like £10 anyway. And at that price, especially if you're interested in the old kind of scrolling beat-em-ups, if you're a fan of Streets of Rage or a fan of Final Fight, I can heartily recommend it, basically. And we will have more coming up with the developer in a interview coming soon.
So, Tim, it's Tuesday coming up. Tell me what's coming up on Tuesday, possibly on top of a table.
Yeah, and this Tuesday...
Dancing!
It is a Tuesday.
Tim shall be watching from afar.
No! Last week was a really popular week. We had a game called Forest of Fate, and that went down quite well, quite interesting and a little bit different. This week is one that I think will definitely please our regulars and also be... and also be a game that will kind of attract good attention from newbies as well, because it's kind of easy to pick up and play. It's a game called Deception Murder in Hong Kong. Plays a little bit like Resistance, but instead of trying to find a spy, you're trying to find the murderer amongst the group. Basically, it's a group of everyone's in the investigator, or everyone's investigating the same crime apart from one person that's designated as a forensic specialist, I think, or something. Anyway, but they're kind of the game master and kind of leading everyone else through. But everyone else is investigators that could possibly be the murderer as well. And it's just identifying that one. Really good fun. Should be a really good game. Anyone that doesn't know, each and every week we have a different feature game. And if you play that feature game that evening, you have a chance of winning a copy of the game at the end of the night. So if you come along and join us at the Loading Bar in Dalston, you could possibly win a copy just by playing it on the evening. This should be a really good game for party peoples. It's a game from 4 to 12 people, so yeah, it does nice big groups. But if you're not in a big group, just come along and I can help put some groups together so you can play on the evening. If you play on the evening, you can win a copy at the end of the night. There are more details on bigredbarrel.com on the top left hand corner of the site, or you can come join our meetup group of 1,600 people or so, that is on meetup.com, search for Tabletop Tuesday.
Yeah, and as Dan has just committed suicide, I'm not sure what happened. He's just got disconnected. Anyway, shout outs. I totally forgot to put them on the agenda, but I've looked them all up while you were talking, Tim. That's where I find the time to do most of the things in life. There's a lot of it. So on the forum, Stingo just wanted to say that he has a similar problem with Destiny 2 as I did. He bought it on the PS4, figuring, hey, that's the popular place where people go to play games, and no one's on it. On Twitter, thank you to Bushin Cat, who said, can we please talk about Rage 2? Your wishes are command. It has been done. Will Driver, who has found... Gentleman B, the rhymer, and compared him to Dan. That comparison's been made several times. Nelly, thank you again. Richard Kirk, and on Facebook, thank you to Chris Nichols, who basically said that we're an awesome podcast and we're funny and he likes impressions and things that we do. So there we go.
Thank you very much.
I think you meant like impressions on the video games industry and not like Bane voices or something. But
maybe both common.
Everyone loves a Bane voice. And Dan's back.
And he's back. And you're back in the room.
Dan?
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 Dan.
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 Dan. Dan,
there we go. And Dan's gone again.
And he's gone.
Let's see if he comes back.
And he's back.
Dan's back.
Jolly good. So thank you for leaving us a review or a comment or a shout out to us, which we can then echo back to you like some kind of indomitable wall of echo-ness. There we are, Coleman, aren't we? There we go. There we go. And sleep. And sleep. Good boy. Right, so it sounds like our podcasting chimp is about to start throwing his own feces about the room. So he better go. So thank you for listening. Once again, make sure you head to bigredbarrel.com or just shove /bigredbarrel after anything on the internet of your choosing.
No, don't
and see
do
what
that.
Happens. Do it.
Pornhub.com/bigredbarrel.
Definitely don't do that.
Bigger red barrels.
You'll be watching from afar if you do.
Yeah, you will. Anyway, thank you ever so much for listening, ladies and gentlemen. So I have been Dan.
I might have been Tim.
I unfortunately have been Coleman.
Yeah.
And Tim's just thrown a ball at me.
Golf ball, no less.
Now I have a ball.
Jesus Christ, why are you throwing a golf ball at him?
It's not a real golf ball.
He's vicious, Dan. Jesus. He threw it at me from afar. He got physical. He threw a golf ball at my head. Luckily, it just hit the elbow. I'm safe, but that would have killed a regular man.
Now you're going to have tennis elbow.
All the time whilst patting his head and rubbing his stomach, if indeed that's what he is rubbing.
From afar.
All right. Anyway, thanks a lot, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you ever so much for listening. And until next time, dear listeners, toodle bye.
are quite welcome for the podcasting goodness that you just heard. Why not roll on over to BigRedBarrel.com for more podcasts, news, reviews, and videos from the biggest, reddest site on the internet, BigRedBarrel.com.